Welcome back, everybody, to our podcast. We are Shark, and the K in that stands for me, Kendall Ankerholz.
The S is for me, Sophia Lawrence.
And the A is for me, Olivia Haynes.
And we've got DJ and Rylan helping us behind the mics today. So for this podcast, since it is Suicide Prevention Month, we're going to get a little bit deeper. We're going to be talking about coping mechanisms today, and we've got some poetry lined up to talk to you guys about. And we're just going to start with some chill talking about our coping mechanisms.
Yeah, we'll also share like what we do to cope.
Yeah.
Our coping mechanisms.
What is your guys' coping mechanism?
Who wants to go first?
Olivia does.
Me? Olivia does?
Yeah, you do.
I don't know. Okay, I would say music is for sure like one I can say
A
coping mechanism. And I'm sure there are some that I have, but I just don't know that they're coping mechanisms, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say music. I would say crying, but I don't think that's like...
Crying is so cathartic.
It is, but I don't know if it's a coping mechanism because like...
Because you can't like make yourself do it?
Yeah. And it's like...
I get it though.
Yeah. Music, writing.
Yes.
But like...
Yes.
I'm not letting anyone ever see my notes app.
No.
Yeah. No.
We don't talk about that.
It's too intrusive.
It's the like mood swing poetry.
Oh, no.
And then you look back through it and you're like, why did I write that?
Dude, or like you go...
It's slightly embarrassing.
You open your notes because you're trying to find like the passwords for a certain app.
Yes.
And then it's just like...
I see your notes.
Therapy was supposed to be...
Oh my gosh. One time, whenever my brother went off to military and I was like super sad about it, I wrote a poem and I was just like, oh, it sucks. Like, parting is such sweet sorrow. So bad.
That's Jillian's so is... Like, I have one for Jillian. It's like, I can't go a day without her.
That's so sweet. People need to write sibling poetry more.
Oh, my gosh. Me and someone were talking about this, but, like, we haven't seen enough movies just about the bond between siblings. Because I've seen so many about the relationship between, like, partners and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But not, like, just true friendship between siblings.
Okay, you know what? I was actually looking at movies yesterday, and I was looking for sibling-centered movies because I feel like everybody's always, like, parental relationships, like, daughter or son.
Yep.
But I can find, like, zero movies about siblings' relationships.
I know.
I found Hocus Pocus, Parent Trap,
yeah,
and Step Brothers.
Step Brothers.
That does not count.
It doesn't really count because it's not, like...
Yeah
I'm trying to think if there's any...
I can't think
about
of any.
About, like, siblings.
Yeah.
No. But that would be such a great way to, like, cope with
Frozen
sibling stuff.
Guys.
I don't know.
That could count.
Yeah, and it's about, like, sisters. The sisterly bond.
Yeah.
I'm depressed. No, Elsa.
Stop!
That's the whole movie.
They were really dramatic, I won't lie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Kendall, what are your coping mechanisms?
I read all the time.
I take out
all of my emotions on the fictional characters.
That's good. Because then
it's great.
Like... It's healthy for everyone around you and you.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, I don't know.
No, it is great. It's
no one's really
great.
Impacted by your
and
coping.
It's like,
except
it's
for my mom, who hears about every single detail of every single story.
Yeah, but like, she's your mom. That's what parents are for.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
So.
but also, like, I don't know. It's a good way to cope. It's intellectual. And it
is. It's intellectual. Ooh. Intellectual coping. Intellectual coping, like, poetry? Sorry, now that we started talking about poetry, I can't stop.
Yeah, I wish I read more poems.
I mean, we're going to, so...
Yeah, should we move to the poems?
Yeah, me and my sister have, like, a poetry board on Pinterest that we share, and we each put, like, poems in there.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to read off some of the poems?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Indeed. Okay, I have...
Did you talk about your coping mechanism?
No.
Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah,
I would love to.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, so I think with having, like, 180 playlists on Spotify just dedicated to, like, different genres and stuff like that, I found what I love most.
Oh, yeah.
And it's easily music.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really lucky because no matter what I'm feeling, whether it's happy, I have all of these different genres to listen to that will express my happiness.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, like, when I'm sad, I also have all of these different genres to tell me the millions of ways that I'm sad and should stay sad. So it's like a double-edged sword because, like, I'm getting the most out of every single emotion.
Yeah.
But, like, sometimes those emotions will be made longer because of the amount of time I listen to that certain... Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, playlist or genre of music or whatever.
And obviously there are unhealthy coping mechanisms.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say music is one.
No. Because
it's still, like,
It's
good art. To vent.
It's not detrimental.
No.
Like, you're not gonna, like, hurt your, or, like, do something bad around, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. But I think it's also really easy to listen to music because sometimes I listen to it because I don't want to think. Yeah. So I play music that can think for me.
For you, yeah.
And, like, if I don't know how to speak, music will always, like, speak to me.
Yeah.
Like, no matter.
And there's so many songs that you could find almost anything that you could relate to.
Exactly.
Which is so nice.
Exactly.
I saw this, like, post. It was a tweet, I think. And it was this girl, and she was talking about how, like, she was trying to express her, like, hatred of growing up and, like, her body image to her therapist, mm-hmm. and couldn't. And so she just played, it was Liquid Smooth by Mitski.
By Mitski.
Ooh. Oh, my God.
I was just listening to that.
Yeah.
On my, like, Insanity mm-hmm. Girl playlist with, yep. like, Mitski, yes. Lana Del Rey.
Ooh.
Oh, my
That's
gosh.
Awesome.
Good stuff.
That's a good
point. Bro, I found Lana Del Rey poetry that, like, is just read. Like, it's not, it's on, it's like a podcast form, but
she
it's just her
poet.
Reading her poems because she's a poet. And it's called, like, Bent Backwards Over Grass or something like that. And it's like, oh, it's beautiful.
Oh, my gosh.
That's pretty.
You yeah. have to show me that later.
Dude, yes.
Okay.
That's so cool.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so whenever last year, junior year, we did, like, a unit for poetry, and I thought that it was you that I was talking to about that liked Emily Dickinson. Did you guys like Emily Dickinson?
I did. I loved Emily Dickinson.
Okay, I got an Emily Dickinson one, because apparently she's, like, really good at, like, themes of death and, like, super mm-hmm. dark feelings, mm-hmm. so it's...
Didn't she kill herself?
She might have, actually.
I think she did.
Well, clearly her coping mechanism wasn't working.
She wrote a lot yeah. about depression and suicide. Well, yeah, she wrote... Okay, so I have... It was Not Death For I Stood Up by Emily Dickinson, and that one is, like, about... This one is about feeling super, super lonely and, like, constricted by your depression. I have Refugee Blues, which is about being a refugee and being super alone in your situation.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one, which I want to read because I got a little obsessed with it, is Lady Lazarus by Sylvia Plath.
Mm.
And it relates to World War II and Nazis and, like, rising out of the ashes, but also suicide.
Okay.
So, Olivia, do you want to read the Emily Dickinson one?
I will.
Okay.
Hold on. I have to find it. It's called what?
It Was Not Death For I Stood Up. I really like this one. Some of the words are kind of interesting.
Well, we'll see if I can pronounce them.
Yeah, just do your best. It's okay.
Okay. Hold on. I got to make sure.
No, yeah. I have notes on this for
is
whenever
this,
you read
is
it.
Is this the right one?
Yes, I love this one. Okay, go
notes?
Ahead.
Okay, so should I just, like, read a first stanza and then stop?
Just read the whole way through, okay. And I can go back and, like, talk about some stuff.
Okay.
Go ahead.
It was not for death for I stood up, and all dead lie down. It was not night for all the bells put out their tongues for noon.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It was not frost for all my flesh, I felt... How do you pronounce that?
Sirocco's, I think?
Sirocco's crawl. Nor fire for just my marble feet could keep a chancel?
Yep.
Cool. Whoa, where am I? And yet it tasted like them all. The figures I've seen, set orderly for burial, reminded me of mine. As if my life were shaven and fitted to a frame and could not breathe without a key. And 'twas like midnight some. When everything that ticked has stopped and space stares all around, or grisly frost first autumn mourns, repeal the beating ground. But most like chaos, stopless cool, without a chance or spar, or even a report of land to justify despair.
Okay. It's so, like, gloomy. It's perfect.
Ah, it is
it's good. So good. Okay, so it's kind of confusing. She's very articulate, but it's also, like, borderline illiterate sounding sometimes because yeah. she just, like, it's so moody.
Yeah, but, like, I don't know, because I'm not Emily Dickinson, but, like, when she was writing it, she was like, this makes so much sense.
Yeah,
and, like, this
it's
is
not
how
articulate,
I feel.
But, yeah, it's
yeah,
like that.
It's, like, it means a lot to her, or, like, how she interpreted
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's like an if you get it, you get it.
Yeah.
So, let me explain some pieces of this. I have a website that has, like, notes on it for me, so mm-hmm. I'm a cheater. So it was not death for I stood up and the dead all lied down. So she's basically just saying that, like, the way she feels isn't death, but it's so similar. that it's like comparable. And she's saying that she's still alive and all the dead are lying down. And it couldn't be death because it was the afternoon. It's not night. It's not darkness. It's not completely. Mm-hmm. And then she's saying in the next stanza, it was not frost for my flesh. I felt siroccos crawl. So siroccos are hot winds. So she says it can't be pure cold because there's heat that she feels. Nor fire for my marble feet could keep a chancel cool. So it can't be like burning heat like hell because like she still feels cold. So basically she can't feel any one way and all of her senses are like dulled because she's just like in the grip of depression. Beautiful, beautiful.
No.
Beautiful.
That was really pretty.
Yes. That was really pretty. She's so...
That she's so real for that.
She's so aesthetic.
She's so real for that. Do you
want to read the refugee one?
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
Okay, it's pretty long.
It is really long.
It's super long. You can trade off if you want to. Like, do you want to read the whole thing? You can read however much you want to.
Okay.
Okay.
Refugee blues. Say the city has 10 million souls. Some are living in mansions, some are living in holes. Yet there's no place for us, my dear. Yet there's no place for us. Once we had a country, and we thought it fair. Look at the atlas, and you'll find it there. We cannot go there now, my dear, we cannot go there now. In the village churchyard, there grows an old yew. Every spring it blossoms anew. Old passports can't do that, my dear. Old passports can't do that. The consul banged the table and said, if you've got no passport, you're officially dead. But we are still alive, my dear, but we are still alive. Went to a committee. They offered me a chair. Asked me politely to return next year. But where shall we go but where shall we go today, my dear? But where shall we go today? Came to a public meeting. The speaker got up and said, if we let them in, they will steal our daily bread. He was talking of you and me, my dear, he was talking of you and me. Thought I heard the thunder rumbling in the sky. It was Hitler over Europe saying, they must die. Oh, we were in his mind, my dear, oh, we were in his mind. Saw a poodle in a jacket fastened with a pin. Saw a door open and a cat let in. But they weren't German Jews, my dear, but they weren't German Jews. Went down the harbor and stood upon the quarry. Saw the fish swimming as if they were free. Only 10 feet away, my dear, only 10 feet away. Walked through a wood, saw the birds in the trees. They had no politicians and sang at their ease. They weren't the human race, my dear, they weren't the human race. Dreamed I saw a building with 1,000 floors, 1,000 windows and 1,000 doors. Not one of them was ours, my dear, not one of them was ours. Stood on a great plain in the falling snow. 10,000 soldiers marched to and fro. Look for you and me, my dear. Looking for you and me.
Okay.
That was really...
I feel like you read that really well. You captured the feeling.
I tried.
It was beautiful. That's so... Okay, so I had not read that one all the way through, but a couple of these are very specific to people's situations.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But you can relate to them anyway, because they capture the feeling.
Well, what I was relating it to... while I understood that it was about the Nazis and like, during that time period, but I was also relating it to like homelessness in our society today.
That's so true.
Because the line where it says you can't let them in, they'll steal our daily bread and stuff like that. Or like, cats being welcomed in through doors and stuff like that. I don't know. It was all very resonating when you like drive down Wichita and you just see.
You see,
I cry every time I see a homeless person.
Oh my gosh, it sucks.
Yeah, it's...
I watched a video. It was a video essay, and it was talking about the relationship between criminals and like marginalized groups.
Okay.
And like basically it said that in places where certain marginalized groups are criminalized for just being who they are more likely to commit crimes because they already have committed the crime of being themselves.
That is,
So for example, like gay people, they are a marginalized group, and in places where they are literally illegal, they will be like more likely to commit crimes because they're already technically committing a crime.
Mm-hmm.
And like same for refugees, same for everybody that has ever been in a group like that, has been like outlawed.
Yeah.
It's the same, and that stereotype just like keeps building and building until
it's perpetuated.
Just, yeah, exactly. It's just like a self-fulfilling prophecy at that point. Like people believe that they're going to be a criminal, and they basically like have no choice.
Yeah.
Prejudice.
Yeah, it's forced on them.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. That one line really got me, and it was the one about the bread, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they will steal our daily bread. It's crazy to me to think that, like, you know, in The Hunchback of Notre Dame, the opening scene is the mother asking for sanctuary and she's not let in time. That is, like, horrifying to me that these people could, like, ask for sanctuary and be denied from a supposedly welcoming religious space.
Oh, yeah. I think the one that got me was the one about the birds.
That's what I was going to say. The birds sang because they had no politicians.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, but they weren't the human race.
Exactly.
Which, like, you could also relate it to, like, how humans are just evil.
No, exactly. Because I have a lot of poems about, like, nature and stuff like that, and all of them end with being, like, but then there are humans.
Yeah.
And it is just so, it's so sad. Also, to go back to coping mechanisms, another one of mine has to do a lot with, like, nature.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I have to reset and be in nature for a while just to feel like I've become one with myself again.
No.
Like, when I start to lose myself in either thoughts or, like, losing emotions or whatever, and I can't figure out what's wrong. My oma taught me this when I was really little.
Mm-hmm.
We would take our shoes off and go walk in the garden and just, like, stand there for a little bit and, embrace whatever's around us.
That's so nice.
Or, like, that's so nice.
We'd catch, like, lizards or, like, garter snakes and stuff like that. I don't know. And that's, like, one of my favorite things ever.
Appreciating natural beauty, I think, is, like, one of the best ways to
cope
or, like, feel better.
And sometimes I can't, like, get up to go to the garden, so I just, like, open my windows, and that does it for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, hearing the loud birds gets me.
And
they're singing.
I'm even an indoor person, and, like, you know Monet, and he does a lot of, like, natural art.
Mm-hmm.
His, like, most famous one of the bridge over the lily pads.
Yes.
It's, so like, good. The same feeling. Even though you're not in nature, it's, like, so perfectly captured in such a gorgeous way that it just, like, it's perfect.
Yeah.
One of my coping mechanisms, I'm gonna be honest, it's dancing.
Like, oh, yeah.
You get set, and then you, like, play
you give
music,
a little jiggy.
You just dance, and it's like, I'm feel 100 times better.
Yeah.
And it's, like, that plus nature, it's, like,
it's perfect.
It's perfect.
But the thing is, if it's gonna be dancing, then it has to be to, like, you know when I made you watch 13 Going on 30?
Yes.
It has to be to one of those songs, like, Burning Down the House. And it's
oh my gosh,
one of those jump around.
They're so good.
DJ knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Such a good song.
It's so good. I need to watch that movie again.
Okay,
let's move on to the last poem, because this is my favorite. And so we did not put a trigger warning at the beginning of this episode, but we did mention that we were going to be talking about depression and suicide, so I'm going to put a second trigger warning right here, because this again talks about World War II. And I don't know that I should bring up or describe what one of these lines means.
Okay.
But if you guys do not know what a Nazi lampshade is, then you can look that up yourself. I'm not going to explain it on a podcast.
Okay.
So, let's get into this one. So this is Lady Lazarus by Sylvia Plath. I have done it again. 1 year in every 10, I manage it. A sort of walking miracle, my skin, bright as a Nazi lampshade, my right foot, a paperweight, my face, a featureless fine Jew linnet. Peel off the napkin, oh my enemy. Do I terrify? The nose, the eye pits, the full set of teeth, the sour breath will vanish in a day. Soon, soon the flesh, the grave cave eight will be at home on me. And I, a smiling woman, I am only 30. And like the cat, I have 9 times to die. This is number 3. What a trash to annihilate each decade. What a million filaments. The peanut-crunching crowd shoves in to see them unwrap me hand and foot, the big striptease. Gentlemen, ladies, these are my hands, my knees. I may be skin and bone. Nevertheless, I am the same identical woman. The first time it happened, I was 10. It was an accident. The second time I meant to last it out and not come back at all. I rocked shut as a seashell. They had to call and call and pick the worms off me like sticky pearls. Dying is an art like everything else. I do it exceptionally well. I do it so it feels like hell. I do it so it feels real. I guess you could say I've a call. It's easy enough to do it in a cell. It's easy enough to do it and stay put. It's the theatrical comeback in a broad day, to the same place, the same face, the same brute amused shout, a miracle that knocks me out. There is a charge for the eyeing of my scars. There is a charge for the hearing of my heart. It really goes. And there is a charge, a very large charge, for a word or a touch or a bit of blood or a piece of my hair or my clothes. So, Herr Doctor, so, Herr Enemy, I am your opus. I am your valuable, the pure gold baby that melts to a shriek. I turn and burn. Do not think I underestimate your great concern. Ash, ash, you poke and stir. Flesh, bone, there is nothing there. A cake of soap, a wedding ring, a gold filling. Herr God, Herr Lucifer, beware, beware. Out of the ash, I rise with my red hair, and I eat men like air.
That last line was really good.
I know!
That last line.
Oh, she's so good. Mm-hmm. I love Sylvia Plath. Okay, were there any lines that struck you?
Yeah. But I'm not going to bring up the one that did, so we're going to...
Okay. Actually, what struck me a lot was not the suicide element, but actually the World War II element. So obviously there's the thing that I'm not going to say on the podcast because it's very, very, it's a lot. But also, a cake of soap, a wedding ring, and a gold filling is interesting to me because whenever we were talking about World War II in like sophomore year, I think, we were talking about how whenever Jewish people would go into concentration camps, literally everything would be taken from them, mm-hmm. like from the clothes on their backs to the gold fillings in their teeth. So that was mentioned. Love that. That was really good. And I also said Herr God, Herr Lucifer, Herr Doctor. Herr just means Mr. in German, basically.
Okay.
So yeah, there you go. Was there anything else? I mean, this means a lot to me. It's just like, I feel like it's the most hopeful out of the three, mm-hmm. because she literally talks about rising out of the ashes, like coming back from the dead, living again, living another yeah. life, and like still staying yourself. You're still the same person, same flesh, same blood. I think that's very beautiful.
I agree.
We're so glad we got to talk about this, actually. This was pretty chill. This was good. To anybody that really did need to hear this, you are not alone. We're here for you. We talk about this for you guys and for ourselves. This is a coping mechanism, actually. Mm-hmm. This is great. So to anybody that needs to hear that, you've got people here for you. You're not alone. And we're glad that you guys were here to listen to us today.
Because we love you.
We love you guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye. We'll see you next time.
Bye.